So the next point on the agenda is the proposal for the extension of the project design and development of the tagged neutron method for the determination of the elemental structure of materials and nuclear reaction studies project TANGRA. Yuri Kopacz, yes, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dear PAC members, dear colleagues, I will present the proposal for extension of our project called TANGRA, which stands for Tagged Neutrons and Gamma Rays. It's a project which involves several laboratories of the Joint Institute of Nuclear Research, but main laboratory is Frank Laboratory of Neutron Physics, and the project is within the framework of the team 1128. So this project has been reported already several times here at this meeting, but nevertheless I will remind you the main points of the project. So what is tagged neutron method? Is the method which allows one to tag or mark every neutron which is emitted from this reaction. It is DT reaction which produces alpha particle and neutron with the specific energies. And by measuring the alpha particles, we can know the time of emission and the direction of emission of the neutron. So the main components of our setup, of our project, are the following. The neutron generator, we need the neutron source, which emits these neutrons. It's, in our case, it's a neutron generator, which uses this DT reaction, with a built-in position-sensitive detector of alpha particles. Then we need shielding to protect the detectors from the direct neutron beam. There are gamma rays and at the same time could be used as neutron detectors surrounding the target. And the main advantages of the method, first of all, in principle, there is built-in possibility in this method to determine the number of neutrons emitted from the target and just emitted from the source and just hitting the target, because each neutron is tagged by the alpha detector. Then alpha detector gives also information about space and time location of each interaction of neutron with the target. The most important feature for us is that due to selection of small space-time volume of interaction, we can really significantly reduce the background of unwanted events. And finally, the method also allows to identify different elements and substances using their characteristic gamma rays. So the aims of the project, they were announced already three years ago when we started the project. They didn't change. So these are basic research. So we aim to use this method in three areas. In basic research, that means using this tagged neutron method for investigations of nuclear reactions like inelastic scattering or end-to-end elastic scattering, could be also fission reactions. Applied research means using this method for identification of wide range of elements and substances. And methodical research is design and development and construction of gamma and neutron detectors and of algorithm for analysis of experimental data. So the main tasks which we announced when we started the project are listed here. So this slide I have already shown. So basically, everything what is marked by green, we more or less completed these tasks. At least we completed or partially completed. The only experiment that we didn't do is an experiment on measurement of the cross-section of the end-to-end reaction. Just because this experiment is not so easy to do is the first reason. The second, that our neutron generator was broken last year. So we plan to perform this experiment anyway in the nearest 3 years. So I will just briefly show the results that we obtained. So the first result was a measurement of beam suppression factor for different materials for 14 MeV neutrons. So this task was important for us to construct properly the shielding for our gamma ray detectors, but I think this information that we got, it was published in this paper, the information is useful also for other people, because this the suppression factor for different materials for this neutron energies is quite useful for many experimentalists. One of the main results, which was also reported already at one of the previous PARC meetings, was a measurement of angular distribution of gamma rays from the first excited state from carbon-12 in elastic scattering. So it was, as I said, was reported at the PAC meeting, and it's published in several papers, in paper and conference proceedings. Now coming to applied research, we also did some work for implementing fast neutrons for elemental analysis. So we did two different works. One is elemental analysis of ores. So the scheme of experiment is shown here. So we used either high purity germanium detector or BGO detector, which was looking at the sample, which is the sample, and the neutrons were the sample was irradiated by fast neutrons. And since the sample was large enough, so here we could use both fast and slow neutrons, because the neutrons were also moderated inside the sample. So we obtained gamma ray spectra, could disentangle this spectra, and could identify the characteristic gamma lines of those elements, which we have to determine, the contents of which we have to determine in the sample. And another work was done the measurement of humidity of elemental composition of ores. So this experiment was done with germanium detector, and this experiment with VGO detector. So the germanium spectra are shown here with high resolution gamma lines, but this technique is more expensive and more complicated to use practically. That's why we use also VGO detector, to try to be able to see, to disentangle this spectra where you cannot really see the identify characteristic gamma lines. So we are still in the process to disentangle in this spectra, and we hope that even using BGO detectors we can reach positive results in this direction. The second work in the applied physics was the determination of relative humidity of coke, which is used as fuel. So the scheme of the experiment was the same, and here we used just BGO detector, and we used two types of reaction. So to determine the humidity, you have to determine the water content, and water contents, the characteristic elements are, of course, hydrogen and oxygen. So we used, determined the area of the peak of hydrogen, which is produced by neutron capture, by slow neutrons, so that's why the sample was large enough and the neutrons were moderated in the sample, also partly due to the contents of the water. That's why you see that with increasing of water concentration, the area of this peak increases not linearly, because the water, amount of water increases, and it additionally moderates the neutron, so it increases the neutron flux. And the second type of reaction is the neutron elastic scattering on oxygen. There's another gamma line, and you see here the dependence is linear. So both reactions can be used, and the minimal content of amount of water that we could determine was about 6%. So this is not, of course, still not practically usable, but we are working to continue in this direction, and we hope to reach even lower levels of humidity determination. Also, some work was done with the construction of experimental stand for the testing of devices for nuclear planetology was done. It was also reported on one of the previous meetings. So the same neutron generator and the neutron detector, as is installed on the Curiosity rover on Mars. The same device we have here in Dubna, and it is being continuously tested, and the stand which imitates the soil of Mars is also built, which could also imitate the different levels of humidity. So in methodological direction, we constructed a silicon two-dimensional position-sensitive fast neutron detector for beam profile measurements. This I also showed some results already some time ago. So this is the detector can simultaneously measure both coordinates of neutrons. It consists of four
double-sided strips position-sensitive silicon detectors. In principle, one can reach the resolution of 1.8 millimeters, but at the moment we grouped together eight strips, forming the matrix of 8 × 8 with a pixel size of about 1.5 centimeters. So for us, for the moment, to properly position the neutron beam, this is sufficient. And here the, some results are shown from this detector. This matrix shows the different tagged neutron beams. So you see that here all our tagged neutron beam is here in the nine central pixels. And this very central pixel shows the neutron beam distribution in the detector. So the list of publications is shown here. We had some around 7 publications and a number of conference reports. And finally, last year we organized 2 collaboration meetings. One was the preliminary meeting, which was held in on October. The main participants were Joint Institute and VNIA from Moscow, who produced the producers of the neutron generator, who also they helped us very much by providing as their contribution to the project this very nice device. And the second meeting was quite a large meeting, which was two days meeting with almost 15 countries, 15 different institutes from various countries. Participating in the meeting. So as a result of these meetings, we have some new members in our project. This is namely the Lomonosov-Moscow State University, the Institute for Nuclear Physics, the University, Banaras Hindu University from India, University of Alexandria, Egypt, and Holubei National Institute from Romania. So coming now to the extension of the project, we plan in the nearest 3 years to continue the work in more or less in the same direction. Namely, we want to continue measurements of angular distribution of gamma ray and energy correlations of gammas and neutrons in the inelastic scatterings. We want to measure it on different elements. We want to measure cross-section of N2N and elastic scattering reactions, further develop the environmental analysis using the tagged neutron method, develop Monte Carlo method for simulating experimental results, study of radiation damage of scintillators and silicon detectors. This topic is, for example, especially interesting for our partners from VNIA, from the institute which produces the neutron generator. So this is one of the main factors which limits the lifetime of the neutron generator. Continuous studies of the Marshall soil model. We want to finish the construction of this position-sensitive fast neutron detector. And we want to construct, basically we almost finished this task, construct a new gamma spectrometer based on 24 BGO scintillator detectors. So I will just show this last point. So BGO, the advantage of BGO detectors compared to sodium iodide detectors is that they have much higher efficiency for high energy gamma rays. So the characteristics of the detectors are shown here. Basically, they are more or less the same. The resolution, the energy and time resolution are comparable with those for sodium iodide detectors, but the efficiency is much higher. And we made a modular design of the whole mechanical construction, which allows construction of different geometry. This is side view and top view, so we can put the target farther from the source or closer to the source, just having higher intensity of the neutrons on the target. We already did some preliminary work for measuring angular distributions and angular correlations of gamma rays for other elements than carbon. Here, so carbon is shown again here. We measured also for oxygen, magnesium, silicon, and also some other samples we also have available, and we plan to measure them. We are measuring actually them more or less right now. Then important point that we have now a group of theoreticians who joined our work. So it was a report of Nikita Fyodorov and his master thesis. So he developed or tried to look into the experimental the stage of the art of the experimental description of angular correlations of gamma rays in the inelastic scattering of fast neutrons on nuclei. And so here he used compound nucleus framework for calculating, and got some in some cases he got some agreement. In some cases, it is now obvious that this model doesn't really work, and it turns out that this subject is not really well studied in the world. So I think it's worthwhile to continue in this direction. Then this reaction, which we plan to do during past 3 years, we didn't do it, but we still want to do it. This is in the investigation of end-to-end basically reaction on the most interesting nucleus is boron 10. It's interesting for nuclear astrophysics. Is to obtain information about the low line level levels of unstable nucleus boron 9. And the method is to measure the energies of two neutrons using time of flight and calculate missing mass spectrum for boron 9 using this technique. And for that, we want to use high efficiency, high volume Damon detectors with built-in and gamma separation capability. So for our work during next 3 years, we require the following financial resources. So here our expenses are listed. In total, we want around $450,000 for 3 years. And important contribution here from VNIA, which is, so we get for free the neutron generator, which the cost estimate for this device is about $100,000. And in summary, I'd like to say that we propose to extend our project in the framework of the team 1128 of Frank Laboratory of Neutron Physics. The project includes four joint laboratories and seven external institutes. Total funding, as I said, $450 kilo for 3 years. A large part of the equipment, including this most expensive N27 neutron generator, is already available, and good experience of the teams participating in the work. We think it will ensure its successful realization. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much. It's open for questions.
I was referring to this project. I asked Professor Kopacz by email. I received answer. It's good. But I have now questions. What is the tire of your equipment?
What is what?
Turning wheel. What is mean? Wheel. Колесо. What is mean? All time is turning.
Wheel.
What does mean? This is the tile of your equipment.
Ah, what means to
No. In the left. The left.
Wheel on the top.
This one?
Yes. What does mean?
This is a symbol of Tangra. Tangra is a Bulgarian ancient god or something like this.
Yes, but this is good for when we see your explanation. We must look what is this moving. Not good. Okay, but I have other questions. You work with mobile neutron source.
Yes.
Do you plan to change to the new neutron source, for example, tandem, or for example, from the electrostatic generator or not?
Some works, yes, we plan to do the electrostatic generators. For example, the work which is devoted to investigation of radiation hardness of detectors. This is better to do on tandem accelerator, for example, on Van de Graaff accelerator, where we can provide higher flux of neutrons.
Uh-huh. Okay, my questions connect with, because you have very good, very big detection system and modification, and you work with only mobile neutron sources, not... real is not good, for my opinion.
Yes, no, it's good.
Only my suggestion.
For us, it's not so bad to use mobile neutron source because the experience shows that for steady state for standard neutron source, we need first of all it's more expensive. We have to build it. Yes, and it's not so easy to make this stacked neutron method. For example, in our Van de Graaff accelerator, we are not allowed to use tritium target at the moment. That's why we cannot do it. We are not allowed by safety reasons. Mm-hmm. And this neutron generator, it has all allowances on permissions to use tritium target.
Thank you. I support in general.
Any other questions?
First one, Yuri. For what this measurement? What's the fundamental aim of such experiment using the 14 MeV neutrons? This work started many, many years ago. What new you want to receive?
Yes. So first of all, it was of course started many years ago, but it was not finished, obviously. Yes, they started, and then at some point the interest was disappeared in this field by some reason. And for example, it was really surprising for me. I'm new also in this field, so I started it just a few years ago to be interested in this field. And we realized, for all of us, it was new. We realized that the theory of this inelastic scattering doesn't exist at all. Yes, so this is one thing which is interesting. Then, for practical reasons. You know that we have here some companies affiliated to Joint Institute which uses this method for drug detection detection of drugs and dangerous substances. And they are also planning or trying to develop this method to detect different elements. And in order to properly detect the elements, for example, even angular distributions of gamma rays is very important because the anisotropy of gamma rays can be almost a factor of two. So if you place detector at wrong angle and miscalculate, do not include this angular distribution do not take it into account, so you will get wrong results. So from both from basic point of view, from point of view of basic physics and from point of view of applied physics, we think that this is useful.
Professor, you are right, but they have very good gamma resolution, and they hope that find new state. Yes, but it's science. maybe okay. You are right.
Okay. Another question concerning structural materials applied research.
Yes,
we know that in your laboratory much more good spectrometers using the elastic and inelastic neutron scattering, small angle scattering and so on, synchrotron radiation and so on. Many methods are used around the world concerning structural materials. What new in your research?
Yes, I understand your question. Those methods, they are sensitive to structures, to the molecular structures, but they are not sensitive to elemental structures. To elemental composition of the elements. So the most sensitive method to the elemental composition is the neutron activation analysis, which is also developed and used in our laboratory very extensively and very nicely. But the disadvantage of this method that it's, first of all, it destroys the samples, and you have to bring the samples to the reactor and destroy it eventually. And using our method, of course, you cannot reach such accuracy, but using this method, you can move. So here is the advantage of portable generator. You can move your generator somewhere else, and with not so good accuracy, but in some cases with sufficient accuracy, determine the elemental contents of the sample. So the difference is, to your question, the difference between our method and the method of small angle scattering and so on, that we are sensitive to elements. And is an isotopic composition.
But we know another method, atomic force microscopy, another method.
Yes,
much more precise, I must say.
Most of them require that the samples should be moved to the position of the equipment. Not the equipment can be moved to the sample. not the other way around. This is the advantage. Yes, that's okay. It's a good point. Many methods are not sensitive to light elements, exactly. And our method is the most sensitive to the light elements. That's right.
I think it's a very important point. It's really different.
Yeah, that's right.
Next question.
Yes. You are proposing to construct a BGO detector instead of NAI. So how much you can improve the result when you're using a BGO detector?
So we expect the following. So our estimation that, for example, our reference experiment is experiment on carbon, yes? So for 4 MeV energies of carbon, we have a gain in efficiency by about factor of 2. So it's between 1.5 and 2. The gain in efficiency. And for high energy gamma lines, with sodium iodides, we cannot, basically with our level of statistics, we cannot measure at all. Yeah. So more or less energies like 4 to 6 MeV is the limit of sodium iodide detectors of our size. And with BGO, we can move to higher energies. This is the main advantage.
I have also one question related to this. You mentioned also in the report and shown today that comparison of the germanium detectors and BGO is going on. Of course, it's not trivial to get the same accuracy from the very bad resolution gamma spectrum. This was suggested in the report. I think it's very interesting to try other crystals in this case. Of course, they are more expensive, obviously. But they have much better energy resolution.
Yes, we have this point.
Yeah.
We have high resolution gamma detectors. We have not decided yet which, what kinds of detectors. It could be high purity germanium or like lanthanum bromide, which provide probably sufficiently good resolution. So we are planning to investigate in this direction. And this is, of course, research work. We don't know whether it will work or not and what type of detector will be best here.
I mean, the response function of this detector on the gamma rays, of course, is very well known already.
It's very well known.
So, and very good timing and energy resolution. I think it's worth to test before deciding which detector should be built.
Yeah. We are going to calculate first, and in any case, not to buy all 24 detectors, but maximum one detector and test it first.
And if I may suggest that lanthanum chromium detector is in fact much lower background. I think it's much more suitable for your... We made some tests with this detector and they are much better than lanthanum bromide from the background point of view. So it's worth to start even from this.
We are also thinking in this direction. Yeah. Thanks.
Yes. Yes. Be careful. Nasty question.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned some activity related to the Mars mission with ExoMars, this experiment. But as far as I remember, this mission crashed on the Mars. Does it mean your equipment got lost?
No, this one didn't crash. This is a mission which is, this is not Russian, this is American mission. It's a Curiosity rover, which is still rovering Mars. It's not crashed. It's just Russian participation in American mission.
You mentioned that some affiliated companies or organization are using your data for angular distributions. Do they support your research financially?
Yes. They also, so one of the biggest support is this, providing a neutron generator for us. This is the biggest support, but they also support in other ways. Like project meetings were also partially supported by other companies.
I don't see other comments. Thank you very much for the nice presentation, good discussion. And we move to the next topic. Proposal for opening a new project. Time?
Yeah, okay. Fine.
Study of deeply subcritical electronuclear systems and possibilities of their application. I will not read the whole title because we see it. and this will be given by Vladimir Wagner.
Okay, thank you very much. Dear Chair, dear colleagues, it is a big pleasure to have presentation for you here. And my presentation will be connected to studies which are connected with accelerator, future accelerator-driven transmutation. And I want to show you on our results, example of our results, why Czech group is very interested in continuation of this project. This accelerator-driven systems and future technologies still have many challenges, and they are mainly connected to nuclear data, benchmark of models, and all these things. It is possible, for example, to see also on last long-range plan of NUPEC, which was just last year produced, and still they are necessary to study needed nuclear data. And there are also big steps in high-intensive accelerators and spallation targets. We know ESS project, which will start at Sweden, and it is the main European project, one of main European projects. Also, there are very important synergies with future spallation sources, fission and fusion systems, ITER and all these things. Okay, my presentation will have some introduction. I already started with them. And I will show you our setups, which we use for our studies. And I will show you some, only a few examples of our results and our techniques which were developed. And also I will show you the main directions of future 3 years and for our proposal. Okay, Jindřich Dubna has very nice set of accelerators. And they are very useful in this region. They are ideal tools to test different schemes which are for this accelerator-driven systems. This classical system in which we have proton accelerator with energies hundreds MeV, 1 GeV, and a slightly subcritical reactor core, for example, future project Mirha. We have such accelerator here, Phasotron, and high intensive. Also, it's possible to study some directions which propose to use hard neutron spectrum, which is formed by beams of very relativistic particles. We have nucleotron, and also it's possible to use heavier ions and to look if it is possible to use this for such systems. All these possibilities are here. Okay, this main scientific goal of our setups, previous setups before this last few years, was energy and transmutation setup in which we had lead target and uranium blanket. Now, I will talk about setup Quinta, which is uranium target and uranium blanket, and what is necessary to study and what we need to study. There are neutrons which are produced and interactions which are inside, neutron leakage from such setups, and also measurement of transmutation of different actinides by neutron spectra. And also there are very big possibilities for methodical studies, which are connected also with fields which are necessary for all, for example, beam monitoring on nucleotron and other fields. Main scientific goal is to obtain accurate and reliable nuclear data and benchmark and improvement of models and codes. I will show you some examples which maybe show that it is possible by this. But it is not only. We have also goals which are not scientific, but they are very important. And this is international collaboration, and mainly international collaboration for young people. And it is necessary, and it is very important for us, for our country, which have not big accelerators, to have possibility for our PhD students to work at Dubna with this such big accelerators. I will show you, we have already during last 10 years many PhD students, they are defendants of the students. For example, just a few months ago, Martin Suchopar was defended, and also not only Czech students, but also other from other countries. We have now here PhD students, I see them, and from September 2017 we will have next. And there were many diploma theses and also students' practice. And this experience for the students is very important because already after PhD defension they started to work in very good international laboratories, for example, Láďa Henzel, Lukáš Závorka, they are now working at Los Alamos at the United States in this field, and Antonín Krása, this is working on future Mirha at Belgium, Vitaly Pronskych at Fermilab, Harpul Kumavat at home at India, and also many of our students are working in our institutions. This is a very important thing. Here I will show you that we have young people, and there are photos from last year and from this work which were done on Fasopro. Now our main setup which we have just now and just after a few weeks will be irradiation and will be experiment at Fasopro. Again with this Quinta, as I said, this is uranium target and also uranium blanket, and it is also possible to make some shield by lead, and it is possible with different set of detectors to study different fields. Here is a feature of this setup, and now some examples of methodics which we made and which are interesting. It is only a few examples. What is very important is to know integral number of neutrons, of protons or deuterons which are going on the target, and we work hardly on possibility of beam monitoring on nucleotron, electronic monitoring, but also activation monitoring. Because we had one problem, last experiment, which was done with energy and transmutation setup, had problem. Two monitors produced, aluminium monitors produced different results. It was necessary to resolve. We used also copper monitor for looking on how big diameter of beam radius, and it was possible to use this copper, but it was not excitation function. We proposed to make a measurement during all our Quinta experiments with copper and aluminum monitoring and to obtain excitation function. And we obtained, and here is possible to see comparison between deuteron and proton reactions of relativistic proton and deuterons on copper. And it is possible to see that it was possible to measure very big number of radionuclides, and we obtained enough information and enough data, and now it's possible to use this copper for monitoring. And it is big advantage because this copper is possible to place near to target, and it is no background of neutron reactions as at aluminum. But it was not only, because we obtained also very nice data for nuclear models. Here is possible to compare this our excitation function with different calculation. Here is quark-gluon string model, and this is here is our model, and it is possible to see that it is possible to distinguish between these two models, and this experimental data are nice for comparison. These two features are more nicely for this quark gluon string model, but it is not all. Yeah, that's more complicated. But in any case, it is possible to use this data, and they are very nice data for modeling. And this was completely without data before our measurement. Okay, it is necessary to measure not only monitoring, but it is necessary to measure neutrons which are produced, and we have many sets of these neutrons and for the, of these detectors, and it's very important to measure leakage of these neutrons. But because we started already bigger collaboration with technical university, and it is necessary also to have engineers. We started to measure also thermal production from this target. It is not only reason, because if we are on phasotron, we have much higher intensities, and this temperature changes are much better for measurement. Okay, that means also our engineers, future engineers and PhD students after from technical universities are working on this problem, and it will be one field which will be in future proposal and also which will be in next experiment, which will be after a few weeks. Here is some results, first results. This is beam. Beam intensity, and now this is increasing of temperature. It is possible to see how, if we are changing or stopping beam, how it is influenced on target temperature. What is the most important? It's measurement of spatial distribution of neutron field, and here we have very nice synergy because we measured very high threshold reactions, and also at Czech we have big studies of neutron reactions, of this high threshold neutron reactions using our neutron source and also European other European neutron source, for example at Sweden. And okay, here is one example that it is not easy situation, because this is a theoretical prediction from TALIS. This is the present TALIS. And here is possible to see how is experimental data which were obtained. There are first data in this region. It is clear that this data for high energy threshold reactions, there are very very difficulties, very many difficulties, because they are produced on the base of models, but not only, they are based also on experimental data. And if we have not experimental data, that's clear that there are white places. Here there are some how will be this threshold, and we measured in an experiment which I will show you, threshold up to 80 MeV. It is possible to distinguish these high energy neutrons. And it is possible to check how it is changing the spectrum from start of target and up to end of target. Here is ratio between detectors which were before target, and here is after target. And this ratio will show you that this hardness of the spectrum is increasing, and it is possible to nicely to measure by these high threshold reactions, and also it is possible to measure by comparison of uranium fission and bismuth fission. That means still the same phenomena is possible to measure. And I said to you that the most important is it is a benchmark of models and how will be. Here, this is this last experiment which was done with this energy and transmutation setup. This is from this reason, because this was 4 GeV with high intensity, and it was possible to measure threshold reactions up to 80 MeV, and it is possible to see that up to 50 MeV, this ratio between experiment and model is very near to one. Yeah, that means here MCNPX and also our models are working quite nicely. Yeah, for higher energy of neutrons, this is problems. From point of view of number of neutrons, it is relatively small problem because this is hard part of spectra and this is small intensity. But from a point of view of secondary particles, some developing of shower, this should be a problem. Okay, this is possible to see also here. We have spectral characteristics of leakage and it is possible to see that for neutron energy, which are lower than MeV, we have quite nice agreement between model. For high energy neutrons, it is different. And also, differences between model and experiment are increasing with increasing energy of deuteron beam. That means some problems are in high energy neutrons range. Okay, I will show you very quickly some other experimental results, what is possible to study. It is possible to study production of neutrons with deuteron and carbon and to see how it is with possibility to use higher, heavier ions. And as I said, we are studying also transmutation on different, for example, neptunium samples, and it is possible to study how it is with different deuteron beams and with different spectras. Now, what we propose, we have conditions which are done by possibilities of accelerators. That means phasotron should work at least next 2 years. How will be later? It is open question. I don't know. But we have 2 years, and we need to end our work with setup Quinta, for example. And we propose also start some studies with much larger, much bigger target, which will be some semi-infinite uranium target. Just now, 2 years, Nucleoton will close work on NICA, and we hope that Nucleotron will start work after 2-3 years, and it will be possible to continue our studies using Nucleotron. We have PhD students on TEME, and I hope that there will be more of these students, and okay, that will be people which is necessary to have some experience, which is necessary to have near to a nice experiment. Okay, we have very good spectroscopy laboratory and also other equipment, for example, this Clover detector, which we have. And okay, there are also good collaboration with Czech universities and also the synergies. As I said, we have nice collaboration with our neutron sources and also our colleagues are working on possibilities to measured neutrons by different methods. And okay, it's also some source of students. That means that we plan to use this setup Quinta and to on using phasotron and to end this systematics which we already started and also to start this measurement using this thermometers. Also we want to plan to make calculations to prepare these experiments which will be with big uranium target, and this big uranium target we want to start to study with extracted beam from phasotron, and to study discrepancies which were in last measurements with such big targets, and to prepare future usage of this big uranium target on the extracted beam of nucleotron in future. And also during this, we want to make still as byproduct different studies of important cross sections, and also systematic review analysis of this data which we already have. Here, this is a place in which we have our Quinta target, and also which is possible to use for big uranium target. Here is how this target looks like, and here is also some sketch of this target. And okay, the main features of this target is possible to simulate. It is possible to prepare. But as I said, we have problems in high energy part of the spectra, and maybe because we have now, if you have big target, it is big space for this shower and for development of this shower, and if there are this problem, it will be possible that it will be it is very big probability that it will be possible to see during experiments with this semi-infinite target. Okay, as conclusion, these general Dubna accelerators are ideal tools for studies of different ADS concepts. We have for long-range studies by means of these simple setups, and we have some things which we resolve already, but we have still some question mark which is necessary to resolve. And we have very nice nuclear data, and it is possible to obtain really important data for benchmark of models and codes. And many PhD theses were defended, and also from different countries we obtained contributions, students, finance, and maybe Czechia, Poland, and others. Okay, we expect to test this new setup, quasi-infinite uranium target, and hopefully first test on phasotron. And okay, we want to prepare future experiment using nucleotron. And as I said, there are many synergies with other fields, spallation targets, fusion, nuclear models, student studies, studies of future engineers, and other. Okay, thank you very much for your attention. Only on the end, some sketch of needed sources.
Okay, please leave it on the screen. No, please leave it on the screen, then we can see it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, questions? Yes, please.
Thank you. And thank you for the excellent write-up, very clear to understand, and for the presentation. Just on the last slide.
Could you talk to the microphone? We'll hear better. Sorry.
Just on the last slide, you mentioned that this TSP run requires considerable greater financial, material, and labor support from the facility, which you mentioned here. So maybe it's a question that either yourself or the management can answer. Are there such resources for this major challenge, given the pressures there?
Okay. As is possible to see here, in principle, we have these targets. They are made. Yeah, we have this. We have, in principle, most part of detectors which are needed, and also the almost all techniques which we needed. What is necessary to cover, it is accelerator beams, but it is necessary to say that advantage of our experiments, they are in principle relatively simple experiments from this point of view, because we need relatively very short beams. It is about 1 day of beam, and for one experiment, and also it is not necessary to have the quality of beam. It is not crucial for us. For example, if you will look for different experiments which are done with polarized beam, for example, this studies of very exotic isotopes, this is necessary to have very long time of beam, and it is very sensitive to quality of beam. This is also reason why we had experiments and the result of experiments also during times in which this nucleotron had some problems and it was possible only short beam and all these things. This is second thing. That means mainly we need financing of this beam time, and also of this works which are connected with transport of this target. Yeah, because now this big uranium target is on LVE, and we need to start near to nucleotron, and we need to start our experiments at phasotron. Yeah?
Very good that in this investigation participating many young people. It's very nice. Nevertheless, the future is not so clear. Why? First of all, concerning the phasotron, if the new superconducting cyclotron comes for medical purpose in this laboratory, the phasotron will be closed. It's clear.
Yeah, that's
another thing connected with nucleotron. I believe that during next at least 5 years, very difficult to use nucleotron for experiments. It's today it's possible, but 1 year or 2 years later, I believe that it's position of laboratory I must to know. What position? Pishakhonov here or not? Yeah.
Okay, maybe I answer
it. Because when we attract many young people, we must understand very clear what situation with this item at least on 3 or 5 years. It's a problem, in my point of view.
Okay. As I said, this proposal is for next, in principle, 2 years, because now we are in year 17. As I said, we want to end our Quinta studies, this first setup which we have. And main part of experimental material already many of the students have. Yeah? And we hope that during these 2 years, okay, if this phasotron will be closed after these 2 years, we will obtain this necessary material and measurement, which will be for these students which are just starting or are working here. It is quite possible that with nucleotron it's open, it's clear. Yeah, that's, I understand. And it is possible during these 2 years, we will see, and it is possible to change our direction, and it is possible to, and in any case, just now we have a very big set of material, and it is necessary to make a review of this, to test this thing, to answer all this question mark which we have, and to make main publications and all these things. And this will be work which will be very hard, yeah. Okay, but I think it will be enough. Okay. And we know about it, and okay, I agree with you, but we hope that this 2-3 years we will, and after that we will see.
We have a comment to this point first, and then we'll take our questions.
Yes, I have to make a comment. This is an old table, because the correct table, the request is more than twice less. It's 250,000 euros, 50,000 for first year, and 1,000 for second, and also 1,000 for the third years, and it's confirmed and approved by the laboratory directorate.
Okay, fine. So thank you very much.
I'd like to add some comment to this talk touching the notion of Professor Itkes. You see, a very important point for to use the large uranium target at Fazatron is the check of very old and up to now challenging results obtained in the 60s by Vasilkov-Galdansky group. They use also 3-ton uranium target of natural and depleted uranium. And they obtained very large beam power gain, up to 8 times at rather small energy as 660 MeV proton beam. And this experiment was done in very special geometry, asymmetric entrance of beam in pyramidal target. And it depends on, and results depend slightly on use of measuring technique and geometry of target. The main important point with this experiment is that the number of fission obtained in this experiment, as well as number of produced plutonium nuclei, could not be reproduced by never existing standard code. 2 times difference between calculated number of fission and measured by this experiment. So, if this experiment is correct, but some people who work with code have doubt about reliability of these results. If this experiment is correct, it means that the code is incorrect, but 2 times. So the checking this old experiment is very, very important task for for verification of code and the possible modernization of code to reproduce these results. And this could be connected with a very special role of high energy tail of neutron spectrum produced after spallation target, after spallation reaction in extended target. This is quasi infinite target, means that all spectrum of neutron, not only usually studied up to maybe 25 MeV neutron energy, but up to 100 MeV. And in results obtained with Quinta shows that this high energy tail of neutron spectrum is very, very important. So I think that it is very important moment for this proposal to use large, big uranium target at Fazatron. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I have just one quick comment and a quick question, which is, first, I just noted in your presentation, but it's not here, that you are even able to, at these energies, start extracting some fundamental physics, like the QCD string that you picked up, which is commendable, that there's a potential for more fundamental physics to be done, although that's not the aim. The aim was to do transmutations, but mm-hmm. you're able to extract fundamental physics. Are you interested in pursuing that? That's the one question. And the second question is, one of the comments was by the other referee, is that, is it possible, because with this quasi-infinite, mm-hmm. you reduce the neutrons by a third, but what about if you narrow the aperture? Will that not help in the reduction in the neutron? The second question. Thank you.
Okay. First question, we are very interested in this possibility to improve this model of fundamental reactions, yeah, not only for this relativistic spallation reactions, but was for this couple. And by the way, I hope that in future, during these experiments on a nucleotron, we will test not only copper but other maybe heavier nuclei. But also, what is important for us is improvement of this neutron modeling of reaction, which is used, for example, for this Thales. Yeah, and we have nice possibilities to use some neutron sources, but maybe. I don't know if problem for high threshold, high energy threshold reactions are in spallation of development of this shower, or it is, for example, in neutron high threshold reactions. Maybe here is problem, and it is possible to test and to compare results which we have and proposal of Thales to change and to obtain also information about this to distinguish. But in this case, it is much harder, and it is analysis for a longer time, and we will work on this. And it was about this aperture to change. I don't know. I think we have this. I think it will be not so big difference because this is small relatively against this big target.
I have also one question. I didn't completely get the strategy which is developed for this kind of infinite target system. The ADS is based on the idea which is in principle, on the calculation at least, feasible. And this was, of course, reinforced by many calculations, also some tests, some of them were mentioned, although there's a disagreement with codes, of course. And here I don't see really the same strategy. It's hard to believe that from the economical point of view, it will be really reasonable to have the, I don't know, AGV deuteron accelerator for the transmutation. This, I think, nobody proposed yet, as far as I know. Is it not better in order to test the codes and to try to focus the program on something what is closer, a little bit closer to the possible applications? I mean, proton beams only, because this is the only thing which is really feasible from the accelerator point of view, taking into account the economical scale of the investment. And really test the codes. I think this looks like the most urgent thing to do, to be done. Not with deuteron, not with carbon, not with a bigger target, but test really what are the limits of the codes.
Okay, I agree with you that it is very probable that simplest way to these technologies will be through this classical scheme, which is this proton accelerator, 100 MeV, 1 GeV, and lead target and subcritical, small subcritical blanket. But in any case, there are some evidences that with this hard spectrum, and also with this interaction with higher energy ions, we have some white place. Maybe I also agree if I will have to my head on this, I will say that it will be not so big difference to for usage this some other direction. But in any case, in this part of our studies, we are working on fundamental physics. Yeah, that means you are right that if will be necessary to have accelerator-driven transmuters within, for example, 10 years or 15 years, I will say you, okay, it is necessary to work in this direction. Yeah, but because it is also connected to fundamental studies and also to provide for students some experience. Yeah, that means from this this reason, I think that it is fine to have this.
Maybe some answer for your remark. You see, up to very recently, the transmutation was very has very moderate play very limited moderate role in a closed nuclear cycle. Yes, but a recent investigation made in China during last 2 or 3 years changed this opinion. Chinese people working on traditional transmutation methods discover that it's possible to propose so-called accelerator-driven advanced nuclear energy system, which use not transmutation, but use the spent nuclear fuel in ADS system for treatment of and utilization of spent nuclear fuel with simultaneous production of useful energy. It is very close to idea which was used in, which lie in the basis of this project, so-called relativistic nuclear technology. And this project aimed at study the physical basis, the feasibility of main physical idea of such extended tasks of transmutation accelerator-driven system. So I think that it is very interesting to go up to end to study such unique possibility which we have with this big uranium target. This is only such big uranium target in the world. So here we have unique situation to obtain the benchmark with quasi-indefinite multiplying system.
Now the comments, the last one, yeah, because we have to move on, please.
You presented a large program in this field of transmutation and so on, but to me it is not clear what you really can do, and especially my question is, if you won't have any beam in the next 5 years, what are you going to do?
As I said, it was this discussion. Already after a few weeks we will have experiment. That means that we are still experimenting. Okay, this is project for this 2-3 years, and we will end in this time. We will end this second setup. As I presented our results from this last energy plus transmutation setup, yeah, from this last experiment. We resolve this problem with beam integral by the studies of this copper. Now it was resolved. It is possible this last point to put, and in this case we have on this quinta proton beam from very small energies up to high energies, which are possible on nucleotron, and we have deuteron beam. Both it's possible to compare. And okay, and now it's possible to make full review and review articles about this study to end and to have these results which we have for a scientific public. And this Quinta, we hope that we have a set of experiments with deuteron beam, and we have now some experiments with this phasotron beam. We need still to resolve some question marks, and it is a very big probability that we will, with help of our students, we will resolve these question marks. And also in this case, we will have some review, and it is possible to show to this modelist and to people which are working with these models. You are right that for case of this big uranium semi-infinite uranium target, we are on the in starting point. But as Walter Fuhrmann said, still one experiment which will be possible on phasotron, and it is a very big probability that it will be possible, will resolve some very old problem which we have. Yeah, you are right that about experiments with this quasi-infinite target on nucleotron, it is very big question mark. Yeah, that it was said, and we know this. Yeah,
yeah.
You are right.
I mean, there are also activities going on other places in the world, like JPARC, for instance. Do you collaborate with such people? With other people, other groups in the world in this field?
As I said, we collaborate through these different groups which are working on these neutron reactions and also on this. Also, this energy and transmutation target or setup is some basic setup which is proposed for a simulation. Yeah, that means it is in this international community, and it is included.
Okay, thank you very much for the discussion presentation.
Okay,
thank you
very much.
We'll change the topic now, and we'll have short presentations and a set of questions. So I ask the committee members to be prepared to ask the questions, as the presentations will be now very short, on the topic physics of light mesons. And the first short presentation... Yes, I'm looking for the speaker. It's Nikolai Komutov. Yes. And the idea is to show a few slides, and then we'll have an opportunity to ask questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me very briefly present the results of two very nice experiments. The first experiment is a precise measurement of the pi to e nu branching ratio. The ratio of two well-known leptonic decays, pi to e nu and pi to mu nu, could be calculated in the standard model very precisely, and is, because of that, is very, very sensitive to any possible extensions of standard model and any new physics beyond its limits. And at the moment, it happens so that the theoretical precision of this number, Re mu, is more than one order of magnitude better than the experimental precision. This is experimental precision, including the latest results from our Triumph competitors, and this is a theoretical procedure. The measurements were carried out in Paul Scherrer Institute in Switzerland using the former pi beta detector that was upgraded and became pen detector, and our institute GNR has made a major contribution to this experimental setup. Cylindrical proportional chambers including electronics, pure cesium iodide crystals for the colorimeter, and data acquisition system including hardware and software. Also, an original mini time projection chamber has been developed and implemented for this experiment by Dubna physicists. And here you see a photo of this chamber. It was quite small but very powerful. And here you could see a picture of beam profile obtained with the use of mini TPC. So, data taking has been finished in 2010, and now GNR participates in the analysis of the experimental data. They were detected about 33 million of Pi2Inu decays, more than 150 million of Pi2Mu2E decays, as well as a great amount of radiative muon and pion decays. The expected total error, including both statistics and systematics, for Pi2Inu will be delta R over R less than 5 to 5 by 10 to minus 4, as originally planned. So, what are our plans for that experiment for now? Comprehensive blinded analysis is underway, and it's very complicated analysis. But we see by now no obstacles that would prevent us to reach a precision better than 10 to the minus 3. And we expect the first publication by the end of this year. And also we expect some new results from analysis of the radiative pion and muon decays. So this is all about the pen experiment. Let me go to the next. The next is search for the lepton flare-violating mu2e gamma decay in the MEG experiment. That experiment also was carried out in Paul Scherrer Institute in Switzerland. And I want to notice that the history of searches for
thank you. I hope now it should be better. So that the history of those research started already 70 years ago, and it was pioneered by Pontecorvo and Hinks. And during that history, the precision was improved by about 12 orders of magnitude. And here you see a scheme of the experiment. The main part of the experiment was a colorimeter made of liquid xenon and also drift chambers and timing counters were used to detect the positrons. And the goal of the MEG experiment was to detect the lepton flavor violating decay, mu plus to e plus gamma. And the final result was published last year. It was based on the analysis of 7.5 by 10 to 14 muons stopped in the target. No significant excess of events is observed in the data set with respect to the expected background, and a new upper limit on the branching ratio of this decay was set. So branching ratio is smaller than 4.2 × 10⁻³⁰ at 90% confidence level. And by now it's the most stringent limit on the existence of this decay. And let me go to the future of this experiment. Now the MEG detector is undergoing a very major upgrade. You can see the list of things that are upgraded. To put it shortly, actually every aspect of the detector is upgraded, so we will have new drift chambers, new timing counters, new electronics, new target, and everything will be improved. Let me show the next table. So all important parameters like energy resolutions, angular resolutions, spatial resolutions, timing resolutions, and efficiency, everything will be significantly improved. And also we expect to have a larger statistic that was in the first stage of the experiment. So this is the goal result, about 4 or 5 × 10⁻¹⁴. So that's all. Thank you for the attention.
Thank you. Questions? Yes, please.
Both experiments are, of course, very fundamental experiments, especially MEG and MEG2 are the leading experiments in rare decays, no doubt. Now, what I want to know is the impact of your group. How many people are working on it, and what impact can you make on MEG2? I mean, Penn is over for 4 years, and we just wait for the final result. So, but in the case of MEG2, this will start by the end of the year, and we would like to know what impact your group can make and how many people are involved.
Unfortunately, it is not that large as for the first stage, but already we have one person working on new drift chambers in Italy at Lecce. It's our young colleague Alexander. And also we plan to take some part in the data acquisition system, and I personally will be involved in that, making some web interfaces using JavaScript for controlling different parts of the detector. And maybe we'll discuss that maybe somebody will take part in the analysis. And also our well-known chamber expert, Nikolai Kravchuk, is also consulting the production of drift chambers.
Yes, please, Zeblin.
Yes. Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the excellent write-up and the good presentation, and we look forward to the Penn results at the end of the year, which certainly will be exciting. Just a slightly different question is, from what I heard, that the LHCb experiment in the B system, B2C, has picked up leptin flavor violation, and hints that lepton universality might be violated, as you mentioned earlier. Those results are now out in the market. Now, will those results not dilute or take away the thunder of your results? Because already a competing experiment in a different system is already reporting on the results. So by the time you come out with your data, it should be old story. Thank you.
Thank you for the comment.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I'm asking a question. Whether is the... what is your response to the LHCb data? Because...
Yeah, well, we don't have any response yet, but of course it should be somehow compared, but it should be done by the theoreticians, I think, when we have the, some published results. So if there is a new physics there, it should affect most probably both results. B physics and pi physics, or lepton physics.
Any other comments? This is one of the topics which we discussed already several times, so I guess we have answers on questions. Thank you very much again. And now we will have a coffee break, Cola said 15 minutes maximum, but I guess we can go to 7.